I've been looking for a product like this my whole life. And we were all putting it on, looking in the mirror, and we're like, oh my God, this is a friggin' miracle. That's why it's called Miracle Balm. So here's the color breakdown. Au Naturel has no color. I use this all the time. It has luminosity just from the moisture content. And it's got a really nice...
Thank you. Oh, I stand in awe of you. throne. To the Lamb of God we sing blessing, honor and power, glory forever. You reign, you reign, you reign. Come on, lift your voices, just lift up adoration.
And the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Sounds like the Lord's Prayer to me. Sounds like the Lord's Prayer to me, just in a wonderful song form. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Stand in Awe by Bethel Music and Paul McClure and Hannah McClure. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Really, really awesome song. And that level of worship. Like, there's Christian music and there's worship music. I don't know if you know the difference or not, but as we are now 330 episodes into Rise Up, and as I have part of a worship group and been in music my whole life, I can tell you there is a difference between Christian music and worship music. That was worship music right there. I mean, when you're just over and over and over and over again saying, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, yours, and you're getting louder every time, that is worship music. That is what God loves. Remember when you read the Old Testament and they were doing sacrifices and the smell, the aroma pleased God? Well, I can tell you right now, the sounds of worship music please God. I'm not saying Christian music doesn't, but worship music is another level. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm glad to be able to do worship music with you guys in the mornings. Here we are, 13 minutes past the hour, 9 a.m. here on April 5th, year of our Lord, 2024, another Friday. We've made it through another wonderful week. Great lessons this week. Great messages by Almighty God given to us, through the Holy Spirit. I'm so joyful. I hope you are too. I know there's some people that are having a rough morning, a rough start to your morning, but that's going to change today. We're going to challenge your spirit today. Actually, we're going to challenge your flesh today and encourage your spirit. Can we say that together? All right. We're going to challenge my flesh and encourage my spirit. On the count of three, we're going to say that. One, two, three. Say it out loud. I'm going to challenge my flesh and encourage my spirit. One more time. I'm going to challenge my flesh and encourage my spirit. That's what we're going to do today. And I pray that you guys are all ready to go. I pray that you got your coffee ready, your Rise Up coffee. I pray you got your Bibles handy, your devotionals handy. I pray you got your verse of the day opened. If you don't, please check your verses of the day. Check your folders. Find out where it is. You're going to need it, ladies and gentlemen. I gave you the verses of the day today in three different versions. I gave you the verses from the ESV. I gave you the verses from the Complete Jewish Messianic Bible. And I gave you the verses from the Geneva 1599 Bible. And today, we're going to challenge our flesh and encourage our spirits. So I pray you're ready. Let's have our first Rise Up slurp of the day, shall we? It's going to be a heck of a show today. What I want to do today, as we open up in prayer, is after prayer, we're going to go right to understanding the 66 books of the Bible, because the verses of the day today come from 1 Corinthians. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's give all glory to God. Let's give all of our thankfulness to God. Because today, the Holy Spirit is going to challenge our flesh and encourage our spirits. Amen? All right, here we go. Father God in heaven, Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit within, we are so thankful for being able to have gone such a long distance in our journey with Jesus over this past year and a half. How much we have changed. And that's all glory to you, God. We know Jesus isn't dead because he's still saving lives today. We talked about that after Resurrection Sunday. But when you look back at the last year and a half at our journey with your son, I see so much growth, not only in myself, in my personal journey here with Jesus, but in all the people that are watching as well, in their own journeys. We're all different. And even though we're all made in the image of you, God, we are all different. We look different, sound different, talk different, and that's the greatness. That's the miracle of life. But Lord, today I feel we've gone so far in our journey that we are now at a point where we don't have to be afraid of the challenges of today's world and the desires of our flesh, but we can actually put on that full armor of God and challenge our flesh now, and just to see how far we've come. We're going to do that today. So I pray that you can deliver this message through the Holy Spirit today in a very profound and strong and bold way, as you only know how. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What a great, great day we're going to have today, folks. Now, I know a lot of people are getting some really crappy weather. We're getting it here, too, in the Northeast. And, you know, look at the glass half full, right? Could be in Taiwan having earthquakes. Could be having hurricanes, you know. Snow is, it's snow. It's not the greatest. It's supposed to be spring. That's what it looks like behind me anyway. But patience, ladies and gentlemen. Patience. Just like with everything else. Just like in our political world and our everyday lives, patience. That's what we need to have. That's what we need to practice. All good things come to those who wait. Isn't that the saying? So as I see you guys here this morning, I want to say good morning to Watercop. I want to say good morning to Ashley. God bless you. Day two of Jessica, a friend of Ashley's, is watching again today. Jessica, welcome. River Rat, day five, says it's snowing where they are. It's snowing here too. Cindy Caramore, good morning. Miranda Dolan, good morning. How are you? Bad Moon, how you doing, my brother? Last 2 days, I've hit that camera. So what are you going to say now, Bad Moon? Do I throw like a boy now? And by the way, very disrespectful to girls. I'm just kidding. No, Eli is not back today. Eli's still working from home today. I said, you know what? We're still having crappy weather. Stay home. It's Friday. So Eli can still work from home. He just can't be on camera and everything. So Jeremy moved to Florida. No, thanks. I lived there once. I'm okay. I like a little bit more of a season change. God Chick, good morning to you. Jay Gizmi Juphoff, good morning. LLB58, thank you for being here. Good morning. Grammy Love, good morning to you. Overheard, good morning. I saw some of you this morning as I was getting ready for Rise Up. I popped into Julie Green to say hi to some of you. Big shout out to Julie and Chris. Cat352, good morning. All right, since we're reading from 1 Corinthians today, I thought that I would read to you from Understanding the 66 Books of the Bible, and we're going to read from 1 Corinthians before we get to the verse of the day today to kind of help understand a little bit, right? If you officiate or attend weddings, as most people have or do, you often hear 1 Corinthians 13 being read. It's the love chapter of the Bible, which begins, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or clanging cymbal. Perhaps in addressing Corinthians, Paul was speaking to himself, for he needed all the love that he could muster in dealing with this dysfunctional church in Corinth. Corinth was a prominent city in Greece. It was a rich, immoral place, a city without self-control. In the first century, if you talked about living like a Corinthian, everyone knew what that meant. It was code language for indulging in a wild and unrestrained lifestyle. Paul was concerned that believers in that city were living more like Corinthians than Christians. Both of his letters to Corinth, 1 and 2 Corinthians, were problem-solving letters, and 1 Corinthians deals primarily with interchurch problems. As Paul worked his way through the letter, tackled troublesome area one after another. Disunity, immorality, lawsuits, confusion about marriage, abuses of the Lord's Supper, kind of like we see in America today, disrespect in worship, hearsay about the resurrection, and lack of discipline with their finances. But in the middle of it all, he spoke of love, the love that we need for dealing with troublesome people in our lives, and his words still ring true in our hearts. And today we're going to read from 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and 5. And the key thought of 1 Corinthians is Christians are to live more like citizens of heaven than citizens of earth, which requires us to exhibit healthy hearts and united churches. So I love that book because when you read from that book, you really get a very, very good understanding and an overview of what the message is coming from that writer. So when we talk about love and we talk about being Christians, this is a perfect opportunity right now for all of us to challenge our flesh and encourage our spirits. Please open up your verses of the day today. I'll take a drink of my coffee while you guys are getting that ready. Open up your verses today. Carla, you're right. It very much sounds like America today. The verse is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 and 5. You can go all the way through verse 8 if you wanted to, but we're going to focus on the verse 4 and 5 of chapter 13 in 1 Corinthians so that we can challenge our flesh and encourage our spirit. Miss Mocha Powered, I love that book. It's the greatest book I have. Thank you so much. All right. I'm going to read the verse of the day from the ESV version. I'm going to read it from the Geneva 1599 version. And I'm going to read it from the Complete Jewish Bible version. Okay? I said hello and happy Friday, folks. How are you all today? Joyful, I hope. I'm happy to be here today and I'm very excited about today's show. So please share the link, the email, whatever it is, the newsletter, with any of your friends and family. Okay? All right. Verse of the day, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and 5 from the ESV, which is the English Standard Version. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. So when it says it, you could replace that with love for better understanding. So if I were to say, love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy or boast, love is not arrogant or rude, love does not insist on its own way, and love is not irritable or resentful. That is the it that it's talking about. But when you say that word love so many times, rather than it, not to say that you should change the words of the Bible, I'm just saying for understanding, for comprehension reasons, when you say love, 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 you understand very, very well that this is talking about what? Love. And if God is love, and the Word of God is God, and God is the Word, and the Word is with God, and that's all love, shouldn't we kind of resemble that too? And I would say, yeah. Now let's read from the Geneva 1599 version. Love suffereth long. It is bountiful. Love envieth not. Love doth not boast itself. It is not puffed up. It doth no uncomely thing. It seeketh not her own thing. It is not provoked to anger. It thinketh no evil. That's the Geneva 1599, older than King James. Now let's go to the Complete Jewish Bible version. Love is patient and kind, not jealous and boastful, not proud, rude, or selfish, not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. So as you guys go through, you can see they are different in the way that they are portrayed, in the way that people spoke of that time or who its audience is, but it is the same. And it's talking about what? That four-letter word that is the reason that we're all here. Everybody wants to know the meaning of life. It's pretty simple. You don't need billions and billions and billions of dollars to try to figure out the meaning of life. The meaning of life is found in that book right over there, and it is a four-letter word called love. God made us in his image because he wanted to share what his glory is with somebody, and he wanted to do that as one with love. Love is the reason for everything. It's the whole reason that God even created the universe. It's the reason that he said, let there be light. It's the reason that he made Adam from dust. It's the reason that he made Eve from Adam's rib. It is the reason for everything. It's the reason he gave his only begotten son, that whoever could believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Love. That's it. So, now, we have come a long way in the Spirit of God over the past year and a half, haven't we? Wouldn't you say we have? For everybody who's been here since episode number one, have we not come a long way in the Spirit? And we're always talking about the dangers of the flesh and the dangers of the flesh's desires and how to be aware all the time of all things and keep our eyes on Jesus in order to deprive our flesh of what it wants, right? We talk about it all the time. Kind of like, I gotta be so weary that we don't do this and that we don't indulge in that and that we don't put ourselves in a position so that our flesh desires that and it overcomes our mind. We don't get drunk so that our flesh gets what it wants and our spirits are not being focused on. And right, we talk about it all the time. I believe we're at a point now where we can actually challenge the flesh because we're strong enough to do so. Especially wearing the armor of God. I mean, I'm talking about step right out, look flesh in the eye and say, what do you got for me today? Because I've been beating every single scenario that you've put me in. Every test that you have brought upon me, I have beat back over and over again. And even the worst ones, the ones that I have a hard time beating back, I have acknowledged them. I have been convicted of them. I stand here convicted but saved, wearing the full armor of God. What do you have for me next? That's where I think we are now. 330 episodes deep. That's where I think we are now. Are you ready for that? Are you sure you're ready for that? Are you sure that you're ready and strong enough in the spirit that you can stand and look flesh in the eye and say, bring it. Yes, sir, may I have another? Are you ready for that? We're going to find out today. Class is in session, everybody. Clink, 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 clink. Okay, here we go. Like I said in the beginning, today we are going to challenge our flesh and encourage our spirits. CQ said she's ready. Miranda Dolan says God is good. CQ said 41, right? Overheard says bring it. More coffee, please. Grammy Love says I'm ready, let's go. God Chick said I needed this. I'm so encouraged by this message. Bad Moon says ding. Ding. We got a Rocky fan in the house, ladies and gentlemen. Race Mom said she's ready. All right, here we go then. What we're going to do right now is we're going to go back to the ESV version. And we are going to replace, not for worship purposes, so I don't want anybody in the chat to go, God says you shouldn't take any word out of the Bible or add any word to the Bible. We're not doing that. Okay, calm down. I know there's some people out there that are going to say that. I want to replace for comprehension and for conviction reasons. Every time you read the word from the ESV version, love, or every time you read the word it, I want you to change those words to your name. Like this. Instead of love is patient and kind, I want to say Jeremy is patient and kind. Instead of saying love does not envy or boast, I want to say Jeremy does not envy or boast. Instead of saying it is not arrogant, I want you to replace your name with that and say Jeremy is not arrogant or rude. And instead of saying it does not insist on its own way, I want you to put your name in there and say, I would say, Jeremy does not insist on his own way. And instead of saying it is not irritable or resentful, I want you to say your name. Jeremy is not irritable or resentful. Now let me read that with somebody else's name. Let's talk about Grammy Love. Grammy Love is patient and kind. Grammy Love does not envy or boast. Grammy Love is not arrogant or rude. Grammy Love does not insist on her own way. And Grammy Love is not irritable or resentful. Is that all true? I want you to ask yourself that right now. Is that all true? Because it wasn't for me this morning. When I put myself up against love, when I put myself up against the test, when I said, I'm ready to challenge my flesh and encourage my spirit, I'm going to change my name. I'm going to put my name in there in place of the word love and in place of the word it. And I'm going to see if I mirror love. Uh-oh. Oops. Did it just get too real in here? A minute ago, it was like a preacher screaming at the top of his lungs, and now it's as quiet as a church mouse. So my question is to you, do you resemble love? Love is patient and kind. I'm kind, and I've gotten a lot better on my patience. I can tell you that. Jeremy, didn't somebody get you a personalized Bible that had your name in it in the text? Yes, it did. Yes, it did. And that's kind of where this comes from. I was thinking about that this morning when I did this. So now let me look back in this again. Love does not envy or boast. Oh, I failed there. I envy some things. I boast a little bit, not as much as I used to. Love is not arrogant or rude. I'm not arrogant, but I have been rude to a lot of people, especially people right in our own chat, people on social media. Love is not puffed up. Yeah, I'm okay with there. I'm okay there. Love does not insist on its own way. Gotten a lot better on that. Literally let go of control and gave it to God so I could get better, but I'm a lot better on that one. Love is not irritable or resentful. I'm good there. So there's about 3.5 of those things that I don't mirror, for sure. Now, 1.5 years ago, there was about all of those things that I did not mirror. I did not mirror love at all. At all. But I do now. I mirror so many of these characteristics that love embodies. Maybe 1.5 years from now, I'll be able to say, I mirror love. I really do mirror love. I see you guys in the chat. That's why you see me looking over here all the time, because I have this big screen in front of me and I'm reading your chats. Trishy says, I failed in some areas. Now what? Succeed. Succeed. You only fail if you give up. Really, I mean, you want to talk about some rocky stuff, Bad Moon? You only fail if you give up. But if you get up, what does Rocky say, Bad Moon? That's how winning is done. I try to, but do fail. So do we. We're always going to. We're always going to. And I'm going to make you cry here in a minute, so you might want to get your tissues ready. You might want to get your tissues ready. You're never going to not fall short of things if you are trying to put yourself in comparison with Jesus Christ. You're never going to not have sin in your life somewhere. You're never going to not accidentally screw up somewhere. I can tell you that right now. That's not possible. But it's not a question, ladies and gentlemen, of what do I do? This happened to me. It's more along the lines of, I'm going to do this. I did this. I feel so ashamed for it. What do I do now? And there is no better representation visually that I can give you other than this. Most of you know it, but get ready, because I want you to think right now, before I play this video, here's what I want you to think. If you fall short, when you put your name in place of love and it, if there's a lot of those that you do not resemble or mirror, it's okay. You're not a bad person and you're not a Christian. It's okay. How many times, you strong believers out there, you people in the Word that have been there for a long time, How many of you have strayed before? How many of you have fell so short that you feel like you let God down? How many of you, and I want you to be honest with me, with God, and with yourself. I want to ask you, how many of you have felt like you have screwed up so much that God will never take you back, and you've screwed up so much that it's not even worth calling out to him ever again? Not because you don't want to, but because you're afraid to, because you're ashamed to, because you think he's not going to listen to you because of what you've done. You couldn't be more wrong.
It's not you. There's quite a lot going on right now. So it's good to have you back.
I don't know what to say.
I don't require much.
I'm so ashamed. You redeemed me and I just threw it all away.
Well, that's not much of a redemption if it can be lost in a day, is it?
I owe you everything. But I just don't think I can do it.
Do what?
Live up to it. Repay you. How could I leave? How could I go back to the place I was? And I didn't even come back on my own. They had to come get me. I just can't live up to it.
Well, that's true. But you don't have to. I just want your heart. The Father just wants your heart. Give us that, which you already have. And the rest will come in time. Did you really think that you'd never struggle or sin again? I know how painful that moment was for you.
I shouldn't.
Someday. But not here.
I'm just so sorry.
Look up.
I can't.
You can. Look at me. I forgive you. It's over.
You see how he's smiling? Do you see that? It's okay. Everything is going to be okay. It always is. And when you don't mirror love, it's okay. The fact that you are trying to figure out how to mirror it is you seeking. Remember playing hide and seek as a kid? If you were the seeker, you had to go look. You had to go look and find. And God says, if you come and look for me, if you come and seek me, you'll find me. And I'll always do just what you saw Jonathan Rumi do as he's playing Jesus there. Hug her, say, look up. Don't look down. Look up. It's going to be okay. And he'll hug you and he'll love you. And he'll smile when you come back. Trust me. Now, how many of you are crying? Right? How many of you are crying now? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I see a lot of people. I see a lot of people saying they needed this today. Yeah, so did I. So did I. Especially after putting my name in the place of those words. But, as the Bible says, the pain that you're going through now is nothing like the grace that you're going to see and experience later. We take you from tears of joy and conviction. Only in God can you cry about being convicted and have joy at the same time. Amazing. Now it's time to be comfortable, because it is Comfort Friday. So let's relax and listen to our friend, Mr. Ray Comfort.
After death?
Yes, I do. Our spirits go on and we continue to grow and to learn.
Talking about heaven and hell?
Heaven.
What about hell? Does that exist?
There's like three ways you can go. One can be just like earth.
Is Mormonism?
Yes, it is.
There's a famous Mormon doctrine. We're saved by grace after all we can do. Is that correct?
Well, that is in the Bible.
No, it's not. It's actually from the Book of Mormon. This is the problem when religions have an authority that they esteem above the Word of God. Mormons have their own book, the Book of Mormon, which they call Scripture, but it says the opposite of what the Bible says. For we labor diligently to write to persuade our children and also our brethren to believe in Christ and to be reconciled to God. For we know that it is by grace that we are saved after all we can do. Mormonism adds to grace. As far as they're concerned, what Jesus did on the cross wasn't enough. When he said, "It is finished," it wasn't.
Where is it in the Bible?
I can't tell you.
It actually says the opposite. This is what it says. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works. How do I make it to heaven?
In the Bible it says that you can go to heaven because you believe. Just as on the cross they were able to go to heaven because they believed in Christ. And there's the levels of heaven. And so whatever you're comfortable with, some people will not be comfortable with being in Heavenly Father's presence.
How weird is that? If someone isn't comfortable being in my presence, the inference is that I'm the one with a problem.
Where others will. And so you go where you're comfortable on how your spirit has advanced.
Adding works to God's amazing grace is called another gospel. And listen to the Apostle Paul's scathing words about such a gospel. If anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Why? Because it deceives people into thinking they can earn everlasting life when it can't be done.
So where will Hitler go?
You know what? That's not my judgment.
Yeah, where do you think, according to Mormon doctrine? I've heard it's the third heaven.
I think he'll have punishment for his, not punishment, but that's not for me to judge. And those that don't believe in Christ and those that don't believe in Heavenly Father, they're not going to be comfortable in heaven.
We learn from modern revelation that these three different degrees of glory have a special relationship to the three different members of the Godhead. The lowest degree is the telestial domain of those who receive not the gospel, neither the testimony of Jesus, neither the prophets, and who have had to suffer for their wickedness. But even this degree has a glory that surpasses all understanding. Its occupants receive the Holy Spirit and the administering of angels. For even those who have been wicked will ultimately be heirs of this degree of salvation.
If I say to you, Kathy, I'm really terrified of going to hell. I've broken the Ten Commandments. I've lied and stolen, looked at pornography, committed adultery in my heart, as Jesus said. and I'm terrified of going to hell. I've got 3 minutes to live. Someone's plunged a knife in my back. How can I be saved? What would you tell me to do?
Well, Jesus is the one that makes the, from where we are to get in. We can't do it by ourselves.
So what do I have to do?
Believe in Jesus Christ.
I already do. Let's say I believed.
Okay.
I prayed every night for years, but I feel terribly guilty because of my sins. How can I be forgiven?
My suggestion, you don't have 3 minutes to, you can do all of the...
Well, I've got 2 minutes now, so can you help me?
You get forgiveness by going about repentance and by retribution for the things that you've done.
I've got 1 minute till I die. Kathy, please help me. Tell me, what can I do to be saved from hell?
You know what? You're going to have to discuss that with Heavenly Father and Jesus.
Think of the thief on the cross. He was saved in an instant because he turned to Jesus. He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He knew he had sinned. He was a thief. He was contrite. He was sorrowful for his sins. And all he did was turn to Jesus and say, Lord, remember me.
We are all spirit children of our Heavenly Father.
Did we pre-exist before we came here?
Yes.
How do you know that?
Well, because we have bodies. And we were ones that went with Heavenly Father's plan that we would be, we would come to earth. And
one of life's greatest questions is, where did we come from? It is a powerful question, and one that has been answered by modern prophets. Mormons, properly referred to as members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, believe that before all people were born on earth, we lived as spirits with God, our Heavenly Father. In God's presence, we learned of His plan to provide each of us an opportunity to come to earth to receive a physical body. At birth, all people receive a physical body, but by God's design, are unable to remember their experiences in God's presence before they were born.
We don't have that memory, so we have to struggle here to find
it. You don't have that memory, so how do you know that you were pre-existent?
Because I know. We try to be good every day. We try to do our best every day.
Well, great to talk to you.
What's your name?
Ray.
Ray.
Do you ever study Bible prophecy?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, Bible prophecy is when God told us the future before it came to being. Bible prophecy. Yeah. The book of Ezekiel spoke of the nations that would attack Israel in the latter days. Actually named the nations. Did you know that?
Not offhand, no.
Yeah. So can I give you a book I've written on that subject?
Yeah, but I probably won't read it.
It's very short. It's got little pictures in it. Let me get it for you. Nice to talk to you.
Nice talking with you, too.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
Well, you know, again, if we're speaking about love, right, it's really hard for me to sit here today and say, I got to put my name in all these places and I have to mirror this. This is what I'm, this not that I have to, I want to. I want to mirror this, right? I want to have a better reputation of being a man of God. I want people to know that I do what I say, right? But then in an hour, I'm going to go do Live from America and I'm going to talk about dirty, corrupted politicians, LGBTQ community members who are satanic and want to come after our kids and don't want anything to do with God, and all these people trying to attack us. How am I supposed to, where, that's a tightrope, right? That's a very, between a rock and a hard place. I have to figure out how to express what I want to say to and about them in a different way. And I got to think, how would Jesus do this? Now, that may be difficult, but you know, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to step outside of our comfort zones, right? Step outside of our comfort zones. I got to play a video here for you guys right now about stepping outside of your comfort zones. And this actually made me tear up quite a bit this morning. I can't lie, because I've been preaching this to my kids about stepping outside of their comfort zone. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, we got to step outside of our comfort zones. Check this out. This is a really cool video.
You have a moment for God and I today. Listen to this anonymous devotional that I found on Pinterest called Learning to Trust. Let's read this together. God creates circumstances for us that will require us to step out of our comfort zones. He creates these moments so that through them, we can grow and above all, learn to trust Him. Although uncomfortable, these precise moments of trial unfold our identity in Christ. And most importantly, through the trial, we develop an intimate relationship with Him. Our trust in God does not evolve in the realm of comfort, but rather in uncertainty, when our only choice is to rely on Him. Paul shares with us in 2 Corinthians 1, verses 8 to 9, that he was under great pressure, far beyond his ability to endure, but it happened so he'd rely on God and not on himself. Therefore, do not be discouraged during turbulent times. Instead, be courageous and patient enough to wait, and then embrace the victory upon you. That's beautiful.
That's very beautiful. Thank you very much. Folks, it's time for a few devotionals here to end the show. And yep, T. Mitchell, you're right. Jesus called out evil. He did the same thing, and he flipped tables and stuff. I guess, like it says in Ecclesiastes, there's a time for everything. But I do got to be careful at how I say things. Because sometimes I remember back when I had Facebook and I was doing, you know, just like backyard videos. Remember this, the page Here We Go on Facebook? When I had that page, I had a bunch of elderly people like at the VFW and Lions Clubs and stuff that really liked my videos. Because I would go there for and do things for political reasons. And like, man, we love your stuff, but we can't watch it. We just won't watch it. And I said, why? And at that time, I was very foul-mouthed. Like, the F word come out of my mouth every, you know, 5 seconds. And they said, because your message is riddled with profanity and we just won't watch it. And my response to them at that time was, oh, well, I had 30,000 people jumping on and watching me live. I didn't care if you didn't watch me or not. I was like, yeah, I got 30, 40,000 people watching me live. I don't care. But they said, if you could figure out a way to say the same thing without using so much profanity, your message would go a lot farther and it would reach people that actually mattered rather than, like, you know what I mean? Like window shoppers, rather than people just fly by and just, yeah, 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 and then keep going. He said, you would get actual real messages out to real people that will do real things. And I was like, yeah, whatever. But they were right. They were right. And I think the same thing, I think now that I'm here, the same, you know, lesson that I learned back then can be applicable here. I think I just have to go to that. I got to figure out how to go from here to there, still say the same thing, but be more like Christ when I do it. That's the hard part. That's the hard part. A lot of you were there for those days and you've been here for the transformation and the change but those who are new, when they hear me say like the S word or something like that, they're like, I can't believe this guy would do that. I can't believe he'd have a Bible show in the morning and use the S word in the afternoon. Like I get it. I do. It's not like I don't understand that. And here is, yesterday we were talking about our 30 pieces of silver. And today we're talking about mirroring love. Well, this right here can fit in both of those messages. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth. Dads, we need to watch what comes out of our mouths. Our job is to build up our kids, not tear them down. Find something affirming to say to each of your children tonight and make it a habit. Your children are not going to do what you say. Your children are always going to do what you do. That's what children do. They copy. They're copycats. They want to see what you do, and then they want to apply that to their lives. So if you just say, do as I do, not as I say, that's kind of stupid because children don't act like that. So, Jeremy, you remind me of Fred Flintstone. Yabba dabba do. I hear you. I feel like him sometimes too. I really do. All right. I'm going to read from Walking with God, April 5th, the bigger the better, Acts 13:36. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep, was buried with his fathers, and saw corruption. The phrase carbon footprint has entered the cultural conversation as a sign of the times. It's not a path left by the boots of coal miners, but a measure of the emission of greenhouse gases into the atmosphere. The carbon footprint measurement of cars, factories, animals, cities, any physical entity at all has become a relevant variable in the analysis of what they call changing climate conditions. In addition to their carbon footprint, Christians can also measure their spiritual footprint. I love the comparison. Our spiritual footprint is the measurement of all we are doing to change the spiritual climate in our world. The only climate that we can change and the only climate that we need to be concerned with. Although smaller is better for carbon footprints, spiritual footprints are the opposite. The bigger, the better. We can leave a spiritual footprint both while we are here and after we are gone through our actions, prayers, investments of time, talent, and treasures. Every Christian can serve God faithfully in his or her generation. By wise planning and stewardship, we can expand our spiritual footprint even after entering glory. Wow. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here today. God bless each and every one of you. We've got Mike Crispy and Unafraid coming up next, followed by 2 hours of Live from America here on this beautiful Friday. I love you guys. God bless you. Thank you for being here today. Remember, do that exercise with yourself often and see how far you've come. Thank you guys very much. God bless you and have a great morning. See you later.